just heard the business update, and it's a Wednesday, so you know it's time for the glass ceiling. Who should be responsible for childcare? We're coming back to this topic after a break. A few weeks ago, we moved our conversation from household chores in general to taking care of the children in particular. Now, to be clear, I'm talking about feeding the children or planning their meals or hygiene, getting them ready for school, school runs, playing with them, stimulating their minds, doctor's appointments, helping them study, moral instruction, monitoring their habits and their behavior, all the work that goes into keeping a child alive and grooming them into a well-adjusted person. And I have two dads with me to talk about this today. Our first dad is also a project manager. His name is Oluwafemi Adebule. Welcome to Hard Facts, Oluwafemi. Put your mic on.
Hey, hi Sandra, how are you?
I'm good, thanks for joining us. Our second dad is also an architect and one of my favorite actors, Ibrahim Suleiman. Welcome to Glass Ceiling.
Oh, hi, Sandra. Thank you for having me.
Now,
you're making me blush.
You can watch both of them on, like, they're very fine men like this. Like, I've just been blushing up and down. You can watch them. You can watch this interview. Watch this interview on Facebook. Facebook is Nigeria Info 99.3 and YouTube Nigeria Info FM. So I have to ask you both, first of all, how many kids do you have? What ages are your kids? I'll start with you, Ibrahim, and then I'll come to Oluwafemi.
So Linda and I have just the one at this point in time. His name is Keon, and he is 8 months. Well, he's almost 9 months old. So, yeah, an interesting stage of his development.
Femi, how about you? How many kids and what age or ages?
Same. I have just one.
Okay.
And Burrito is just 8 months old.
Okay.
Same thing.
Oh, same thing. Look at that. Now, I have to ask you, Femi, I have to ask you, and I'm also going to ask you, Ibrahim, the same question. When they first told you, Pekin, they come, what went through your mind? What went through your mind? It shocked you, fear catch you, or were you like, I can't wait,
Any guy that is shocked that his wife or partner is pregnant, there's a problem. Because you participated in that process. But for me, I wasn't shocked because it was well planned. We wanted it. We tried for it. We got it. We were ready for it. So I was the one pushing for the, like, let's do the pregnancy test now. I need to know if we scored the goal, you know, that kind of thing. So I wasn't caught off guard at all.
Okay, Ibrahim, how about you? Ibrahim, how about you? It shocked you, or were you like, yes?
Look, I think from when I was about 28, I just always wanted, I've been ready. I've been ready from, like, when I was 28 years old.
Okay.
So Linda and I had this, we had a conversation even before we got married about, you know, kids and everything. And one of the things that we wanted to do was take, like, a year, you know, have a little fun, you know, and then start trying. So the year was almost up. And then one day I'm getting ready for work and she just comes into the bathroom and she just gives me the stick. You know how you're so excited you jump on the other person?
Oh, God.
So Linda is strong. Linda is strong. Like I jumped on her and she didn't fall over. So, yeah, that was my reaction.
Did you actually jump on her? You want to go this guy?
Don't worry. Ask her.
What were some of the biggest shocks or surprises about having kids for you? I'll start with Ibrahim and then I'll come to Femi. Were there things that were more stressful than you imagined?
I think watching Linda go through the things that new mothers go through, you know, the first, you know, 6 to 8 weeks, I think watching her go through all of that, it was probably the hardest part for me. It was probably the most shocking of the experience so far. The fact that there are things that she was going through that only she could go through, you know, and all I could do was just be present. And it was just hard because, you know, you will want to be able to do something, but there's some things that demand you just, it's just totally out of your, like, it's not within your
You just be saying, hey, yeah, sorry, yeah, hey, yeah. Okay, network is doing him dirty there. So let me come to Femi with that question as well. Were there things that were more stressful than you imagined?
Yeah. You know, like, no matter how much... Yeah, being around, like, pregnant people, like, I've had my sister, you know, had kids. I've seen friends have kids. But, you know, when it's your own wife, your own kid on the way, it takes on a different dimension. And then having that kind of close, you know, like, proximity to seeing the changes every day, waking up to seeing her being tired. Like, the fatigue is something that I just could not. You hear, you know, people get tired when the baby's really forming and all that, but you don't understand. She couldn't do anything. She was just, like, she literally became the baby of the house. So, like, everyone, because, you know, like, everybody was just geared towards making sure she was okay. She wouldn't step out of the room for days. She would just, like, I'll come back from work in the evening and I'll see plates of breakfast, lunch, dinner, brunch, whatever it is, she had eaten, just stacked. Because everyone was just trying to, you know, make sure that she was okay. But that's the one thing that actually shocked me, just how much changes she went through. You know, she goes to sleep one night, you wake up the next day, the nose is times two, the feet is times two, literally overnight. And you're there, you know, trying to document these changes, and you're just like, you know, after this one baby, I'm done. And I literally cannot
go through this again. Ibrahim is saying yes. Ibrahim, you can relate, huh?
Big time.
Okay. You were saying, go ahead.
No, because, you know, I mean, your wife is, most of the time, she's basically your first child, you understand? I don't know, is network okay? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can,
Good.
Well, just keep going. If it goes bad, we'll dump you.
So your wife is, okay. You know, so, you know, all of that. When the baby finally arrived, they're just like, you know what, it's okay. Let's leave it here like this. We'll just, this one that we have, let's just thank God and hold on to him and do the best that we can. Because the thought of putting her through that again is traumatizing. So sometimes, too, when she jokingly says, oh, I think I'm ready, baby, I'm like, bro, don't even come near me, leave me alone.
If Kemi ever comes to me now and says, hey, I want to do it again, I will leave her, this is my baby, I'll leave them here. I'm not doing it. What?
Okay, okay. So I have to ask you both, I really do, this childcare matter, because, you know, you're both dads, your kids are both, what, 9 months old, so they'll be in like university together as bros. But how do you see it? Whose job is it in your home? I'll start with Femi and then I'll come to Ibrahim.
The simple answer to that question is the people that came together to create that baby are responsible for taking care of that baby. Any other answer for me is just, you're a wicked person, right? Whether or not you think it's solely the dad, you're a wicked person. If you think it's solely the mom, you're a wicked person, because honestly speaking, not one person can handle a child. I'm telling you the truth. That people have done it doesn't make it right. That people have, that it has been that way for ages doesn't make it right. I know how tired, when even it's myself and my wife, I know how, because I gave birth to a pandemic baby, right? He also gave birth to a pandemic baby. But I'm sure Ibrahim is still in Nigeria, so he probably still has family, grandparents around. Exactly. I moved to a new country 2-3 months before my daughter was born. She literally has not met anybody. So from day one to today, it's just me, Kemi, and the baby inside this house, like nothing else. And I've seen how much it takes to get a baby from when they wake up in the morning to bedtime. I know how much energy she zaps from two people. There is no way one person does that and that person is okay.
Exactly.
Ibrahim,
absolutely no.
Ibrahim, this is the same for you as well? Two people?
So, no. As Femi said, you know, they left the country because I spoke to Kemi a few weeks before you guys left. And so So I knew when they left. So the fact that they had the baby whilst in a new country, no access to family and extended family and all of that. First of all, see, bro, Una did try. Now I can understand why, you know, like I was going to say, Femi, you know, comb your hair. Like, and then I'm like, okay, it makes sense that people bother to comb his hair.
Which hair?
What is hair?
I changed this shirt at 10:59, 1 minute before I jumped on this call, because if I wore the shirt, if people saw the shirt I was wearing earlier, you would say Femi is mad. There's milk map on the shirt. I don't change it 24. I don't care, because what is the point of changing it? You give me milk map in the afternoon. I just told Temi, I said, Temi, let me not jump on video with Sandra. How many thousand people watching? Do not say, see this boy looking, which hair? Maybe after this call, I'll go and comb the hair out.
Maybe. Because the thing is, here we had, thankfully, grandma was around. That's my mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
She was around, and then one of my sisters-in-law was also around. That's the youngest one.
Mm-hmm.
And then after about 4 months or so, mm-hmm. we got a nanny. So these are the things that we can do here, because it is easier to do all these things here.
Mm.
But even at that, so there's myself, Linda, grandma, Chidimma, and the nanny.
Mm.
That's five adults, yeah?
Take care of one child.
There's just one key on you. And I guarantee you that all of us, at the end of the day, everybody's like this. Wow. Do you understand what I'm saying?
So, let me tell you how bad it is, Sandra. Mm-hmm. Right? Let me tell you how bad it is some days.
Uh-huh.
I have plans. Came and I was like, on Sunday night, when we put her to sleep, we're going to watch Line of Duty. Like, and my daughter, she's really nice. She goes to sleep at 7 p.m. and she doesn't wake up till 6:30, 7 a.m. Mm-hmm. the next day. So mm-hmm. we've done well, because I have read books on sleep training. Hey, God help me, I write my own book. Because I knew I had no choice. Mm-hmm. I couldn't continue that feeding 3-4 times a night. I couldn't. So
you were feeding your baby 3-4 times a night?
Ah, that's even the good days, though. Those are the good days.
I've had some men, and some of them have called into radio, you know, because we've had this conversation for weeks. And some of them have called into this show, and they've said to me, there are things that women are more naturally inclined to do, and men cannot do it.
To pour hot water and cold water to get the right temperature, to pour formula inside, to shake it and put the baby's mouth in the woman.
It's not hard, though.
Like I said, anybody that says that is just wicked.
No, hold on. Wait, hold on first. Hold on. But they also talk about, you know, maybe things like bathing the baby. And I'm curious what Ibrahim thinks here. Things like bathing the baby, that the baby is too tender. You know, women just know how to do it. Men can't handle it. Maybe men can come in when the babies are a bit older, you know. Instead of that tender age, you can't really do much. They need that bonding with their mom. Ibrahim, why are you laughing?
Okay. Wait, calm down. So first of all,
mm-hmm.
I'll just like to say again, Femi, you're my hero. So let me just get that out of the way.
Okay.
Secondly, yeah, before Keon was born,
mm-hmm.
I had never ever, like I did a lot of babysitting when I was growing up, a lot. Mm-hmm. Like anybody who knows me will tell you that Ibro loves children. Like my inner child is very much alive. So when I see people that are like me, mm-hmm. I like to hang out with them, you get.
Mm-hmm.
So in my mind, babies are closer to where I am as a person
mm-hmm.
than adults.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy their company. So mm-hmm. I enjoy toddlers, babies, but infants scare the crap out of me. Because I don't feel like I would, if I hold them, I'll leave fingerprints all over their bodies, like I would break something or crush something.
Mm-hmm.
So before we had Kion, I'd never carried a newborn in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So the day he was born, I came, you know, I was excited.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, I lost Ibrahim again.
I'm going to give him a few seconds to come back on. Hopefully it works. Lagos, if you just joined the show, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. It's 20 minutes past four. I am Sandra Ezekwesili, and I've got two dads on the call with me today. And we're talking about who should be responsible for childcare. And they are telling me about their own lives. They're sharing their own personal experiences.
I'm here. Can you hear me? Are we good?
Okay, you're back now. Go ahead. You broke off where you were afraid to carry babies, and then you had Keon.
Okay. Yeah, so I eventually picked him up, and then I just realized that it's actually not the end of the world. Like, it's supposed to be natural. Now, when it comes to bathing the baby, yeah? So, luckily, there's grandma.
Mm-hmm.
And then now the grandma has moved back to her boyfriend. That's my father-in-law. We now have, you know, Linda and the nanny.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they give him his bath.
Mm-hmm.
But I am almost always, whenever I can make it in time for bath time at night, I drive home like a madman just so that I can be there.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can, you know, pass this or pass that, or, you know, play with him to distract mm-hmm. him when he to wash his hair because he can't wash. My deal is, I know that when he gets to the point where I can just carry him by myself, take him to the bathroom and give him a shower in the bathtub, I'm looking forward to it because we will play with water. But now we're not there yet, so I'm just like, you know, the little ways that I can help by entertaining him or distracting him,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be there.
Mm.
But then I'm not one of those dads who knows how to
bathe the baby,
handle this. Yeah.
Now, Femi, yeah. Are you one of those dads who knows how to bathe the baby?
Yes, I do. Now, I'll be honest, I don't do it all the time because Kemi's like, she does it better than me. And I'm like, you know what? I've seen how you bath her. I've seen how I bath her. I wouldn't argue with that. She's better, but I do it whenever I have to. I actually did Burrito's first bath. Like, when we got home from the hospital, you know that, oh, your daughter is home, you need to do it. I did it myself. I've got pictures.
Aww.
Right? But I did it. And because that's, you know, Kemi was just not... She was just out of it. You know, when you just have a baby, you know how it is. And for the first few days, I did it. And then she slowly got into it. And now she doesn't even allow me. She's like, no, that's the one thing she does because I handle bedtime.
Mm.
Like, if I take her to the room, she's asleep in 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Mm.
But if Kemi takes her to the room, she spends like 40 minutes fighting. She's like, you know what? I'm better at bath. You're better at bedtime. So we just handle that evening routine together. But we only bath once a day. Don't let anybody fool you. We only bath this girl in the evening. I can't do it. This life is too short, you know. So the morning when she wakes up, you clean the diaper area, you clean the face, they play for the whole day. Because there's no point. She's inside the house or at daycare. She's not doing anything, right?
Yeah.
But she has a full wash in the evening. And my wife does that. And immediately after that, it's bedtime. I handle that. So, you know, that balances up. But whether or not I can definitely bath her.
All right, let me talk to Lagos before we have to take a break. And the break we're taking is a really long one. So let me talk to Lagos just very quickly and then jump on that break. Calling with your questions, calling with your comments for Oluwafemi Adebule and Ibrahim Suleiman. Why shouldn't fathers and mothers have equal childcare responsibility? So you have Ibrahim saying that when it's bath time in his house, his wife does the bathing and he's there distracting the baby, making things fun. And you heard Femi say, well, my wife prefers to bathe the girl, so she bathes our baby girl, and I handle bedtime because I'm a better sleep whisperer, right? So there's equality there. They're sharing the responsibility equally. I'm wondering if you're listening to this and you're like, what has the world become? Why has the world turned on its head? Why can't we allow things to be the way the Bible made it to be? Because I remember a conversation I had with Frank, you know, Joe, who told me that women can carry three children at the same time and cross the road, but men can't do it, you know? Izuchukwu is in Badore. Izuchukwu, good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Ah, Sandra, good evening.
Welcome.
Yeah, you know, this, they are saying exactly my same story. My baby is almost 9 months now. Everything was just almost at the same pace.
Okay.
And I'm working from home. So I'm practically taking care of all the little ones. So the baby goes out to the mom now. But this one feeding, no. My baby actually struck. We had to use food at that age, and struggle because it wasn't there. But passing the baby, I think I do it during the weekend. But carrying the baby, I do it a lot.
Okay.
Hope they do, please.
Okay.
Please. Thank you.
All right, Izuchukwu. Thank you very much for calling. Who do you think should be responsible for childcare? Our number is 0700-993-993-993. The number for women, 01465-7190. I don't think I can take any more calls because we've got about 50 seconds before the break. And if I take a call, that call is going to run long. But yes, yeah, save the number and share your thoughts via WhatsApp, because after the break, we'll come straight back to your phone calls. And of course, we'll keep talking with Femi and with Ibrahim. Femi says that anyone who says that childcare is the sole responsibility of the mother is a wicked person. But there's also another dimension of this conversation, and I think we'll touch on it a bit after the break, where people tell you, oh, so you mean I should go to work and stress and make all the money and still come back and also, you know, offer childcare for my child. And which is why the people I brought on the show today are also working dads, so that they can tell you how they are doing it. Perhaps you learn a thing or two from them. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, Lagos. Don't go away.
This is the Glass Ceiling. Glass Ceiling. Hard Facts. Hard Facts.
On today's Glass Ceiling, we're talking about childcare. Who should be responsible for childcare? I'm talking about feeding the children, planning their meals, their hygiene, getting them ready for school, doing school runs, helping them study, doctor's appointments, moral instruction, playing with them, stimulating their minds, monitoring their habits and their behavior. All that work that goes into keeping a child alive, grooming them into a well-adjusted person. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili, your host. This is Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. We are the nation's number one talk station. And every Wednesday, we bring you conversations on the Glass Ceiling that take a look at the different obstacles in the way of women. You know, they are invisible most of the time because they're not often talked about. These days, we talk about them more and more. And one of such obstacles is childcare. More often than not, it's left to the woman to handle. And that's why we're having this conversation today. I want to know who you think should be primarily responsible for childcare. I've got a message here that I would like my guests to talk about. My guests are fathers who are also professional working men. So my first guest is a project manager. His name is Oluwafemi Adebule. And my second guest is an architect who is also an actor, Ibrahim Suleiman. Now, I'm going to need them to take a listen to this question, and then I'm curious what their answer will be. We cannot pretend that men can care for babies as much as women, as well as women, especially when the baby is still less than 1 year. If men will do it well, God would have provided them with breasts to feed the babies. I help my wife, but there are things God meant for women. Should we also share the role of carrying pregnancy? Uzoma Maxwell Mwabu sent that message. Ibrahim Suleiman, let me start with you and then I'll come to Femi.
here's what I think. First of all, there's more to childcare than there's a lot more to it than breastfeeding. Secondly, there is something called expressing. You understand? So you can express, you know, and then bottle, store it in the fridge, and then all it takes is just put it and bring it out. Warm it up a little, put in a bottle, and feed your child. It blows my mind when I hear men saying that, oh, you know, if men could were supposed to breastfeed, they would have grown boobs. Okay, some of us have bigger boobs because we're fat and ungainly. But that doesn't stop us from being responsible for the people that we co-created with our spouses. I find it very reductive.
Ibrahim's network really doesn't like us. So you find it very reductionist? Is that what you were saying?
You know, it's just a very big excuse. Be present. So that's what I think. And I feel like it's
Ibrahim, we'll come back to you. Your network isn't very great. Femi, I want to hear your answer to that post we got on Facebook.
Pretty much almost in line with what, you know, Ibrahim was saying. Sorry. Yeah, so like, why is it that whenever we discuss childcare, it always just boils down to feed the child, feed the child, feed the child. The man cannot feed the child, you have breast and all that. But it almost shows that, you know, they're not participatory in understanding, you know, the total needs of a child and, you know, how to take care of a child. Because if you are involved in it and you take part in it, you understand that feeding a child is 5% of it. It's really 5% of it, you know. Maybe because all these things are fresh. When you have a newborn, you're literally teaching them how to live. You're literally teaching them about life. You know, I was shocked when I was told you have to teach your child how to sleep. And, you know, you just assume, they tell you, oh, baby sleep 18 hours a day, and you just think the child will just close eye and sleep. I don't know if you, Brian, if you put a child down after 5 minutes, they get up. You literally have to teach them how to, it's called self-soothing. Did the mother learn that while she was pregnant? Like, did it transmit from the placenta to her brain how to teach a child to self-soothe? No! You read online, you Google.
Yeah.
Oh, your child has to start to learn to spend time on her tummy. It's called tummy time. That's how they build their neck muscles, their stomach muscles. That's how they start to crawl. Yeah. Is the mother going to also be automatically infused with that knowledge just because she carried baby? No. So when you say childcare, I'm like, there's so much to childcare. You're literally teaching somebody how to live. Like, I started reading to my daughter at like 4.5, 5 months.
Mm.
She doesn't like it because she slaps the book away. But I continue doing it. And, you know, nowadays she's becoming engrossed. Now she can sit down and watch Cocomelon for a few minutes. During those times when she's not feeding, she's not needing anybody to really, really be there with her, I'm like, Kemi, go and sleep, go and take a nap. Because sometimes I think people still don't understand that this woman literally just carried baby for 9 months. I don't know if Linda's situation is the same, but Kemi is still dealing with effects of pregnancy 8 months after. She's not out of it. I mean, you see how she's bubbly and all that, but it's still rough for her. So she knows any time I can. I'm working right now. If I show you my calendar, there are times I just block it out red. And my entire office knows that if you see red on Femi's calendar, do not book any meeting, do not drag him into any calls because he's taking care of his child. They just know. My boss knows, people on my team know that I just, during the day between 2 and 4, I try not to take meetings because that is my daughter's nap time.
Mm.
And so if Kemi decides she wants to watch YouTube, she's watching One Little Black Book or something, whatever it is she wants in that period, it's not my business. I'll put my daughter to bed and I'll do that.
So I'm curious,
it pisses me off. There's so much more.
That food. I'm curious about something, and I do hope that Ibrahim's network allows him to answer this for me. As girls growing up, they sort of prepare you for childcare. They make you take care of your younger siblings, right? Your mother is always talking to you about taking care of your own children. They kind of, they kind of drum that expectation into our heads as girls. So I wonder if boys go through the same thing. When you were kids, were you being prepared to be active fathers? Ibrahim, please let your network behave.
Okay, so to be honest, I find my upbringing to be a little different from most people.
Okay.
Because my mom, my friends, like my dad basically, you know, picked up and left when I was about 6 years old. So we're raised by my mother.
Okay.
So I watched one person play the role of two people. And, you know, so she, I think subconsciously, she decided that she didn't want her kids to be unable if they found themselves in that situation as well.
Mm.
I don't know if it was a conscious that she made, but my mother raised us to do dishes because there's two boys and my sister. So myself and my brother.
I knew that his network would not allow us to shine.
We need to allow SIM registration because this is not working.
Okay, let me come to Femi then.
Great.
Sorry, Femi. Sorry, Ibrahim. Femi, let me come to you with that same question. Were you raised like that? We can't even buy. They blocked SIM card. We can't even buy.
That's true.
My dear.
Yeah, so I'll say, I wouldn't say there was a deliberate effort to
prepare you.
Like, prepare me for fatherhood, right? But I had a very involved dad, you know. Like, you know, and fuck my dad and my mom, you know, they had their flaws, you know, so let me not come and make it look like I'm, you know, but they were very, they took particular interest in the four of us, right?
Mm.
You know, like for me in school, it was rare to see my mom in school for open days. Mm. It was always, my dad was this buko, you will know it.
Mm.
Like my dad would, he was very busy. He's a surgeon. He was very busy, but from the beginning of term, he had this book on his chair by the side. He would just mark it there. Tremi's open day, Sheon's open day. He will not miss it. Like, I think he missed a few ones when he was out of the country. So I had a dad that was, I saw what he was interested in, and he made sure he put all his effort into it. My dad would get home late and be so tired from long days of, you know, standing and breaking people's bones, but he would still review my assignments. He'd say, let me bring your assignment, let me take a look. My mom was the one that was much more involved in making sure that you were well-rounded. You know, family, you need to learn how to, like, keep in touch with family. You need to know how to, you know, do certain things.
Mm.
Cooking. I cook. And I realized that it was my mom that made me like cooking, because she'll be like, I know that you don't know how to do all these things, but, oh yeah, wage, carrots, come and cut green pepper. Come and cut all this. And you know how it starts from those little things.
Mm-hmm.
One day she's like, Femi, today you're making fried rice. I'll be like, ah. And then I started making fried rice. I would never, I think my sisters are listening, they can confirm, like, I started making fried rice really early, at a very young age, and I got really, really good at it. And that took me into uni. I mean, in secondary school, I did food and nutrition. I was one of, I got an award as the best cook in my school
for food and nutrition. Okay.
Right? So, but things like that, I wouldn't say it was preparing me for fatherhood, but between my dad and my mom, they just made you not see gender in certain things, right? You know, my dad would find some things that out of just pure the way society was set up would just fall to one person, right? Mm-hmm. But anything that they could try, like if the cars were bad, my mom would not even ask questions. She would just get downstairs, pick my dad's key and drive off. Because she didn't want to think about mechanics. But she also did that because we lived inside the hospital where my dad worked, so she knew that the car wasn't really important because he would take a 5-minute walk to his office, right? But some other times too, she'll be the one to call, hey, buyer, please come, my car is doing this, or blah blah blah. So I wouldn't say they focused on preparing us for childhood, but they gave me a foundation where I never saw gender in anything. And from a very young age, I knew that I was going to be a handsome dad. Like, there's nothing I'm doing with Borisio today that I'm not sure I never envisioned when I was a teenager. This is exactly the kind
what
of
you wanted
that
to
I
do.
Knew whoever I got married to was never going to be burdened with the child. Like the child. Yeah. In fact, I was going to be the one, like my brother yesterday, he called me and he's like, Femi, do you realize that every time I video call you, she's always on your lap? Like, he has never video called me and she's just not, unless she's sleeping. Like right now, she's asleep. She's having a nap. But if she's awake, 9 out of 10 times, she's with me, unless I am busy with work and maybe I'm on a call and I can't handle her pulling my beard and everything, I'll just give her to Kenny. But if she's awake and I'm not doing anything, 9 out of 10 times,
she's with
I'm
you.
Taking care of her.
Now, from what she's both of you have told me, you're very hands-on dads. I wonder if you have friends who are not the same way. Ibrahim, do you have friends who are not the same way? When you're nodding, if you're watching on Facebook and YouTube, you're seeing both of them nod. When they see you with your kids doing all the stuff that traditionally dads don't do, how do they react?
I have a story to tell about that.
I'll come back to you, Femi. We have just 3 minutes. I don't know where the show goes, but, you know, the show's over. Ibrahim, talk to me. How do your friends react?
For me, I'll share that Femi story.
Okay.
So, basically, a lot of the time, my friends, it starts off with teasing. They will tease you. All my friends, they would tease your soul. But then, especially those of them that are now new dads as well, they start to call you or send you messages when they have, you know, challenges. Mm. They're like, oh, how do you do this? How do you do that?
No.
So I feel like in our own small way, within our small circles, if we all try and stand firm,
mm-hmm.
we can help
change,
you know,
other
the rest
dads.
Of the guys.
Mm.
Yeah. Just play your part, small.
Femi, let me hear your
Femi,
story.
Femi, I'll three.
Yes. Like, a few weeks ago, I called my cousin.
Uh-huh.
Right, and then that's the first time I was video calling him in like 2 or 3 years. So he hasn't seen me. And he's like, "Yeah, where's the date?" And I literally turn my camera, and I'm wiping poop and changing diaper.
Oh!
And he's like, "Ah, he's like, Femi, you're changing diaper." He has a 7-year-old.
Hmm.
He's like, his wife cannot even see me because his wife would be asking where my wife is because he never changed the diaper.
Wow!
This was over Christmas, so this is not like, this was December over Christmas. And I mean, he's older than me, and I just laughed it off, like, hey, no, I'll adjust, you know, because I mean, what kind of conversation do I want to start off there? So it's Christmas. It was a phone call, like, hey, Merry Christmas, we've not spoken in a while.
Uh-huh.
For that. You know, that is the mentality of, sorry to say, but there's a certain age cutoff where
Ibrahim has jazzed Femi's network. Femi's network has been great until Ibrahim jazzed him. Okay. All right then. Well, Femi was saying in that part that he thinks there's an age group of Nigerian men where it gets more difficult to get them to be hands-on with their own children and with childcare. But you see, this conversation is a gift that keeps on giving. Every time we talk about this, you keep calling, you keep messaging, and I know it's something that you want to talk about as many times as possible. So I will thank my guests, architect and project manager Femi and Ibrahim, for joining us today. And we'll continue this conversation next week. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili.